Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're talking about those goofy guys out of Arkansas. I had several people send me this story. Thank you very much. I had missed it, but I'm glad I got it now because this is the kind of stuff that makes for good entertainment. Arkansas men arrested for shooting each other while wearing bulletproof vests. It has all of the elements that we need for good entertainment, including a single vest, which means they had to share it. So, out of Rogers, Arkansas, two Arkansas men faced charges after allegedly shooting each other during a night of drinking. There's the missing element, during a night of drinking. Well, each man tried on a bulletproof vest, according to the Benton County Sheriff's Office. Charles Ferris, 50, and Christopher Hicks, 36, were both arrested Sunday on charges of felony aggravated assault. A Benton County Sheriff's deputy took the initial report from Ferris at the hospital, where authorities say that Ferris invented a story to cover for Hicks, and that would suggest that he made false statements to a police officer. Ferris said he was hired to protect an asset. He made up a spy story. Who paid him $200 to follow him into the woods at Hobbs State Park, according to the probable cause affidavit. Ferris said the pair went out into the woods and met another man around 10 p.m. The man approached Ferris and his asset, and a gunfight broke out. Ferris said he was struck six times, but also managed to return fire before driving off with the asset, according to the affidavit. Ferris said the asset dropped him off at his vehicle before he dumped his weapons and drove himself to Mercy Hospital. However, Ferris's wife arrived at the hospital a short time later, telling investigators that her husband and Hicks shot each other while drinking on the back porch. Your wife shows up and throws you under the bus. Ferris later recanted his initial story to deputies, saying he made it up to keep Hicks from getting in trouble, according to the affidavit. And that's one of the interesting things here, because a lot of people are going to think, well, wait, can you really arrest these guys if they agreed to shoot each other? And the second you have one person going, well, I was making up stories to protect somebody else. Well, if what you're doing wasn't wrong, why do they need to be protected? Ferris said he'd been wearing the vest when he asked Hicks to shoot him with a .22 caliber semi-automatic rifle. The vest stopped the bullet, but it still hurt and left a mark. Ferris became pissed, and that's the quote, pissed, because he was hurting from the shot, and unloaded the clip into Christopher's back after Hicks put the vest on, according to the affidavit. Hicks suffered bruising from the gunshots. Ferris initially told his wife he was fine after the shooting, but he complained about the pain, so she told him to go to the hospital, according to the affidavit. Hicks and Ferris are free on $5,000 bonds. A judge issued a no-contact order between the men, which I also see means a no-shooting order. Both men have hearings set for May 3rd in Benton County Circuit Court. And in Arkansas, a Class D felony is punishable by up to 6 years in prison and a maximum fine of $10,000. And so it raises a bunch of questions. And I'm not going to get into the mindset of somebody who's been drinking alcohol, wearing a bulletproof vest that says, go ahead, shoot me. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around that unless you've been there. But there's a couple things. One of which is, I think pretty much everyone knows this, but if you go to the hospital with a gunshot injury, they call the police. And the funny thing is, I can't imagine a situation where the police shouldn't be called. And that is even assuming if the doctor believed everything you told them. You show up with a gunshot wound, what could you say to the doctor to convince the doctor that no crime had been committed? I suppose it's possible you could say that you accidentally got shot. We've heard the stories about the dog that knocks the rifle over and the gun discharges and shoots somebody. So, you know, the fact that you were shot by your dog, it's not a crime. But it's also one of those things where I think the police are still going to want to take a quick look at that to make sure you're not covering for somebody like these guys, covering for each other. But again, showing up at the hospital, you should probably get your act together. Maybe talk to the wife. Make sure she knows what story you're going to use. Because the cops might be called when you show up with a gunshot wound. Just a thought. But again, no one calls me before they screw up. They always call me after. So that's just a lot in my life of being an attorney. The other thing is you should probably know that gunshots, even while wearing a bulletproof vest, can hurt. For one thing, the guy shooting at you could miss. I don't trust my friends enough to where I'd say, hey, point that gun at me and shoot. Just make sure you hit this spot right here, okay? Right here. Not up here. Not over here. Just kind of right here, okay? Especially if you've been drinking together, okay? So that's another problem. And I've spoken to guys who've been shot while wearing bulletproof vests. You might say, Steve, what are the odds of that? I know guys who've served in the military who've been shot wearing a bulletproof vest. Now, I understand that the vests that the military wear are probably different than the ones these guys are wearing. But again, the idea that you think it's like a force field. Go ahead and shoot. Do your best. You know, it's going to hurt. So here's the problem. These guys were shooting each other and injuring each other is the real issue here. But there's a couple other things going on. One of which is that the guy admits, apparently, according to these facts, that he was pissed at the other guy and shot him in anger. So if we go off the facts in the story, the first guy who shot the other guy did it with the guy's consent, supposedly. He said, go ahead and shoot me. Shoot me. I want you to shoot me. Let's suppose he said, I want you to shoot me. And he shoots him. The question is that a crime? And the answer is yes, it is. And there's a couple of good reasons for this. But you should know that what we're talking about here is they called it aggravated assault. And that's every state's going to have something similar to that. And I've been talking in my mind, I guess to myself, about doing a video on assault and battery, battery, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, what these things mean. Generally speaking, a battery, in the sense of the law, is when you touch somebody in a way they don't want to be touched. So it's usually in a battery situation where you punch somebody, you kick somebody, you slap somebody. Those are all unwanted touchings, okay? Obviously, I walk up to you and we know each other and we shake hands. That's not a battery because it's not an unwanted touching. However, if I walk up to you and I don't know you and I put my hand on your face, that could be considered a battery because you didn't want me to put my hand on your face and you probably might not have enjoyed it, especially if I'm right there on your face. So, you know, the touching is the aspect of the battery. But assault and battery, you've heard that phrase, are simply assault. And assault is defined slightly differently in each jurisdiction. And an assault is often classified as an attempted battery or a threatened battery. So if I walked up to you and raised my fist and I go, I'm going to kill you, and we're standing this close to each other, I have a fist and I just made a threat and said, I'm going to kill you. So I've made a threat to you with the apparent ability to harm you. That's going to be considered an assault. And if I follow through with it and I actually hit you, that's a battery. Okay, and literally weeks are spent on this in law school. I can't condense it to 30 seconds here, but just think of it that way, okay? So the assault is the threatened battery, and the battery is the completed assault, I guess, is a way to look at that. So in this situation, and again, like I said, there's all kinds of examples we could go into. You know, what does it mean if I did that to you through a door, for instance, a door with a window, and I said, I'm going to kill you. Well, I can't punch you through the door unless there's a hole in it or something. So the point is that here the guys are adults, but there's a gun, okay? And so the idea of a gun means that the person can hurt you, okay? They can kill you with a gun, presumably. And so the idea that the guy says, go ahead and shoot me, he appears to be consenting to this. And so the question is, can you consent to an assault or can you consent to a battery? Because remember, the second guy who got shot, when the first guy said, I got pissed and I shot the guy, even though he shot him in a bulletproof vest, he is in fact doing a battery upon the guy because he's touching him in a way or causing him to be touched in a way that he wouldn't have consented to, especially if it hurts. But he shot him in the back. If you wanted to get shot, you'd think he'd turn around and go shoot me in the front. But here's the problem. In our society, you are not allowed to consent to a battery. You cannot consent to a battery. There's a bunch of reasons for that, but I'm going to read to you an explanation of this. Some crimes for which consent may be a defense include those that result in bodily harm. So there are crimes that you could theoretically offer your consent to. So in very limited circumstances, victims can be held to consent to these crimes. One common example is physical contact sports, okay? You're playing football, and the guy across the line of scrimmage from you, the second that ball gets snapped, is going to slam into you with all of his body weight and try to knock you over, okay? That is going to be an unpleasant touching. It's not a battery, because in that context, we understand that that's what's going on. A better question is, when you're playing hockey and your opponent drops his gloves and punches you in the face, is that a consented battery? Because you did consent to play hockey and they let people fight in hockey. It's another story altogether, but that's an example where participants in a game or a sports event are deemed to have consented to the physical contact and possible bodily harm that is an essential element of their sport. But in order to establish consent in these circumstances, three requirements must be present. First, an individual cannot consent to circumstances that involve the possibility of serious bodily injury. Okay? So shoot me with that gun. And this isn't a sporting event. You can't consent to that, because if something goes awry, it's likely going to result in bodily injury. The harm must be reasonably foreseeable aspect of the conduct and a risk that would be reasonably accepted. Okay, so again, you know, if I get involved in a game of rugby, I know some guy's gonna tackle me. I'm not wearing equipment. I'm gonna get tackled. I could get hurt. You know, I played indoor soccer before, and I've had guys elbow me. Okay, that's unfortunately part of the game, because sloppy players don't know how to play without their elbows. But the point is that, is the danger foreseeably, you know, reasonably foreseeable to the point where you can say, yes, I will consent to this and I'll put up with this. It's part of the equation. And third, the individual must receive some sort of benefit from the conduct such that the consent was justified. Yeah, I benefit because I get to play the game. If I don't agree to these notions, I can't play the game. I can't play football. I can't play basketball. I can't play whatever game it is that involves a certain amount of jostling and physical contact. Okay. But these requirements are highly specific, and they only apply in very limited circumstances. And typically, it's usually a sporting event. Boxers, again, you know, if Mike Tyson punches you in the face, if you're in the ring with Mike Tyson, he can get away with it. If it happens in a bar, he'll be arrested. I seem to recall Frank Drebin in Police Squad, when he retired, putting his gun on a desk, and he goes, you know, next time I shoot somebody, I could go to jail. So it does depend on the context. But you might ask and say, wait a second, Steve, why, though, can't a guy wearing a bulletproof vest, even if he wasn't drunk, why can't he consent to say, go ahead and shoot me? Why can't he do that? And the obvious reason is it's against public policy. Because if you were allowed to consent to people beating you up, killing you, harming you, or any of these things, can you imagine what every trial would become? Because somebody who's got no defense will go, oh, I thought the guy wanted me to. And there's a bunch of other obvious problems that come up. But the obvious thing here is, as a society, we've said, look, we're not going to let people stand up and go, yes, go ahead and hurt me. I consent to it. You know, just the heck of it. Just go ahead and do it. But beyond that, even if you could, the fact that these guys were both drinking probably messes with the idea of consent, because you want to be of sound mind when you consent to anything that's important. As you can imagine, if you were signing your will and every witness there said, oh, the guy was drunk out of his mind, that'd be a great way to contest the will. The guy's drunk, okay? Which is more important? You signing a document? Or some guy shooting at you in his backyard while you've been drinking. And he's been drinking. So the two men shooting at each other in the backyard after drinking while wearing a bulletproof vest. Yeah, they got charged with crimes. And I wouldn't be surprised that crimes get reduced, maybe, possibly, maybe not. I don't know. It depends on what the prosecutor thinks of the idea of guns, alcohol, bulletproof vests, and consent being stuck in a legal blender and being poured out as a cocktail of Arkansas justice. So we'll see what happens. I'll follow it. We'll talk about that later. Okay, bye-bye.